In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I wonder what the people of Jerusalem and in Jerusalem were waiting for. After all, they lined both sides of the street ahead of him. They spread their cloaks before the cloven hooves of the colt that he was riding. Their faces were radiant. They had cut from the palm trees the palm branches, and they laid it before him. But again, what exactly were they waiting for? Or better, whom were they waiting for? A military Messiah? An earthly Messiah? A genie Messiah? Three wishes? I really don't know. I don't know what they imagined him to be or what was in their heart. All I know is what they were shouting. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. They were waiting for the same thing that Isaiah was waiting for. For God to tear open the heavens and come down. To come down and deliver them as he had delivered their ancestors from the grip of Pharaoh. To come down in mercy, for in our sins we have been a long time. Shall we be saved? But whatever they thought, whatever they saw, whatever they imagined, their words declared that salvation had come. Salvation had come from the heavens, become flesh in the little town of Bethlehem, and was now entering Jerusalem to save his people from their sins. That's what they were waiting for. That's what everyone has been waiting for since the promise was uttered in that Edenic perfection, that is, among exiled sinners. So what are you waiting for? And for whom are you waiting? Certainly, as the early days of December roll around, most of us are simply waiting for Christmas. We're waiting for family and friends to arrive, the feast upon the table to be set, we may dig in, peanut butter blossoms baked and a Hershey Kiss sitting in its warm lap for me, a Dutch eggnog mustache, little ones' eager hands can't wait to get their hands on the mysteries beneath the tree. But then again, maybe you're not waiting for any of that. Maybe your house is far quieter, your apartment is far quieter these days. Maybe the holiday merriment, as they call it, in our culture is a distant memory. Maybe it's hard to come by. Maybe it is even a present cross that brings a lot of loneliness. Maybe, on the other hand, you're waiting for some semblance of steady health care or a steady job. Maybe you're waiting for marriage, for children, for grandchildren. Maybe you're waiting for healing, remission of some illness, restoration. Maybe you're waiting to die, for the suffering to be over, for the pain and the anguish to be over, to finally see your beloveds in the heavens above, and to see, as Job confessed, thus on that day, though my skin be destroyed, I shall see my Lord face to face. Whatever it is, whatever you are waiting for, know that how you wait shows what you are waiting for. In these times, waiting is largely tied to some sort of online wish list or catalog wish list, to stuff and to earthly pleasures that we seek happiness in and from. But how true it is that such happiness lasts but a moment, is even unmet or destroyed. We know people and things will always fail us. At some point, they will give way, and they will no longer give the happiness that they once gave. or they will break, or they will get taken away. Maybe they'll divorce you, or maybe they will die. And so the hollowness of wish is exposed for what it is, for the meager fulfillment that it can offer us. And then often at this time of year, as these things begin to run up, what happens then to the culturally mandated Christmas spirit? You see, the season of Advent this year has taught me something quite valuable that I believe you should know as well. That there is wisdom and that there is peace in letting go of one's wishes in life, and rather entering a language and posture of hope. For to lay aside wish and to live in hope is to have something really new, is to have something beyond your expectations, beyond what your finite mind can think of, and beyond what your heart can desire. So it is, for what are we in the church waiting for? For whom are we waiting? Because the what and the whom determines how we wait. So are we waiting for Christmas? I suppose, in a sense, we are. We are celebrating the truth of the eternal Son of God becoming incarnate, becoming flesh, born into our world, born to suffer and die for our sins. We are waiting to hear the Christmas angels preach into our ears the hopeful and joyful news. Glory to God in highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And in the glow of these familiar and ancient and blessed truths, we simply give thanks. We rejoice that Emmanuel has come to us, captive sinners, Israel. But this has already happened, and it has happened some time ago. Jesus was born a long time ago. We are not waiting for that. We are not here to sentimentalize the season, dream of white Christmases and days of yore, or re-personate some sort of first Christmas morn, however endearing that might be. Because if that were the case, then the next four readings in the Sundays in Advent would make no sense. Why would we hear about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt on the first Sunday in Advent? That only makes sense if you're waiting for the Christ. You see, Advent has a much deeper meaning than simply that we're waiting for Christmas. Advent is the season of hope. And hope is Advent, is the very reality that Jesus has come and He is coming. For Advent not only asks the question of what and whom are we waiting, it gives us the answer. We are waiting for the Christ. We, like those who lie in the streets in Jerusalem that day that Jesus rode into it, are crying out, "We have been in our sins a long time. Shall we be saved? Save us now. We need salvation from the heavens now. Rend the heavens and come down and rescue us. Rescue us from the perils of our sin and our shame, which like waves is threatening to drown us," like that of Jonah. We need Advent because wish fails us. Our lists go unchecked. You got me what for Christmas? Our dreams become unmaterialized. And then we wait. We wait, seemingly chained to some sort of hopelessness, to grief, or to shame, or to sin, or to death, or to all of it. And here we wait, longing for rescue from that which we have wished would have happened, but didn't. From a broken life. We need Advent to give us hope again. Hope that no one who waits upon this Lord will be put to shame. No one is like this God. No one is like our God who does visit and redeem his people, all those who wait upon him. For again, we need Advent to teach us both for whom we wait and what we are waiting for and how we are to wait. Because again, our Lord, we know, has acted, and he will act again. So we are waiting, in a sense, for Christ to be born as a baby, but to realize that he did not stay a baby. He grew up. And we are waiting for the Christ who drew near to Jerusalem and told his disciples to get a colt because the Lord had need of it. Why did he have need of it? Well, he needed it because he was riding into our sin and our death. So that we, though ridden by our sin and our death, would mercifully ride into his forgiveness and his eternal life. We are waiting for the one Christ, that Christ who will one day tear open the heavens and unearth all the graves of his saints and usher them into an eternal holy communion in the new heavens and the new earth. We are waiting for the Christ who will make this Advent waiting obsolete, who can give us real abiding joy, even when everything around us has fallen apart. But only Christ can tie together the church year. His birth to his death to his resurrection to his ascension, and his ascension to his parousia, his second coming. Anything less than that, not only will you not have Christ in Christmas, you won't have him at all. For without Advent, Christmas is just a memory. And without Advent, and without Christmas, without Christmas, Advent is just simply a sentimental opiate, a drug, a wish that will finally come unfulfilled, a false desire, or even worse, as St. Paul refers to, a cruel joke that is on us. But, my friends in Christ, if you are waiting for the Christ, you know how to wait. You know because you join those Jerusalem voices with your own, singing, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is this man, this crucified one, who has not left us alone or without hope, but indeed comes to speak to us. And so our waiting is always shaped by an alertness to his word. It is a waiting in the knowledge that Christ does want to and does address us as his beloved children. Blessed is the Christ who comes to save us. Blessed is he who is born in a manger, dies on a tree, rises from the dead, and so rescues us from the perils of our sins that we have been in for a long time. And then empties us from our death graves and brings us eternal salvation from the heavens, torn open by his merciful and sacrificial blood. So even as you wait this Advent, as mournful exiles here below, you lack nothing because you have Jesus himself. He comes as gift even though you didn't have him on your wish list. He comes even though you did not dream of him was the one that you had hoped for or dreamt of. He comes with all his mercy. He comes as embodied salvation, his body and his blood upon your sinful and sorrowing lips. He comes as hope to the hopeless, freedom to the exile, life to the dead. Advent hope is this, that as you wait for the Lord, the revealing of your Lord Jesus Christ, he will sustain you until that day, guiltless. And then it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. This is the one in whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is our Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.